Here's an urgent message from Agora Financial.
Like it or not, marijuana legalization is sweeping the country. On Election Day, California, Nevada, and Massachusetts all roundly voted to legalize recreational marijuana use. And that means that very soon, dozens of tiny marijuana firm stocks could skyrocket by 100%, 300%, 500%, or higher. This is your chance to turn a single $50 bill into an absolute fortune. But you need to get in ASAP. Shares could begin soaring soon. According to CNBC, now is the right time to bet big on marijuana, as the industry is poised to be gigantic, and Forbes is touting that hundreds of millions of dollars are pouring in. Go to profitfrompot.com to find out how you can legally stake a claim in the best of the best that the industry has to offer. If you don't, you'll probably regret it for the rest of your life. Go to profitfrompot.com now. That's profitfrompot.com.
Welcome to Recalculating America. Like its award-winning book, Recalculating is dedicated to small business in America and has been named the best small business book in the Independent Press Awards competition. Each Recalculating program is dedicated to helping small business leaders add profits through efficient growth. During every Recalculating program, experts will give listeners useful information about starting or growing their small business. Your hosts are Don Mazzella and Dan Perkins. Don Mazzella is the editor-in-chief of the Small Business Digest. Dan Perkins is a registered investment advisor with 43 years' experience in managing money. He specializes in helping small business owners make their money work as hard as they do.
Dan Perkins here, and I'm your co-host along with Don Mazzella of Recalculating, the radio program that has evolved out of the award-winning book dedicated to helping small business leaders increase their profits. We draw our name from the book named the Best Small Business Book of 2017 by the Independent Press. This book features contributions of more than 100 presidents, experts, and leaders, all whom offer you ways to grow your small business.
Small town America has always been the backbone of economic growth. For the past two decades, Doug Griffiths, the founder and CEO of Small Town Consulting, has traveled to hundreds of communities to talk about how they can improve. I personally don't think you can improve small town America, but improve the prospects to attract business, to attract new residents, etc. He's here today. And Dan, I think we're really going to enjoy today's program.
Thanks, Don. I'm looking forward. Doug, welcome to our show.
Thank you very much to both of you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, you have such a fascinating story. Tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got involved in your company and your website, so that the entrepreneurs who are listening to our program, and it's a growing audience, might be able to get in contact with you to see if there's a way you can help them.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I started as a small business owner. I was a rancher, and I had a pesticide application business, and I was a teacher. The teaching helps subsidize my ranching habit to some extent. Mm-hmm. So I had the perfect life. I lived in one town. I ranched in one down the road, and I taught in the other one in the opposite direction. And then I just realized our small communities are suffering. Their businesses are closing, populations leaving, they're in decline. And yet I love our small communities, and I wanted to make sure they were prosperous. So I wound up in politics. I'm in Canada, so it's in the province, but it would be the equivalent of the state level. And I wrote a rural community development strategy that covered health, education, community infrastructure, economic development, youth, seniors, tourism, arts and culture, water, wastewater, infrastructure, high speed, you name it. It was in the report. I served in a few cabinet portfolios, and then I resigned from politics after 13 years to go back to the community building, and I started the company 13 Ways based on the book that I wrote called 13 Ways to Kill Your Community. And it's not about how to kill your community. It's about what we do that causes our communities to die. And at the core of it, I explain to people we all want success, but ultimately we do things to sabotage our own success without even realizing it. And that's what it's about. So a lot of our clients say we're not consultants. We're actually community therapists because we help. We don't just write reports about what you need to do around economic development. We help change attitudes that are causing economic development plans to fail. So we get right to the heart of the matter, and that's I'm pretty excited to work on it because, frankly, I think our communities, our rural communities, even our sub-rural communities in urban contexts are the most important thing we build. If we have strong communities, then families can take care of themselves and they can take care of each other, and that's the foundation on which we build a strong nation. So I'm excited to be working on the most important project I've ever had the chance to work on.
And a website?
Yeah, it's 13ways.ca because we are in Canada. That's the number three, WAYS.ca. We'll take you right there, and it lists all of the different tools that we have and what we do with communities and some of our success stories, as well as a weekly syndicated column, because I write every week about what communities need to do in terms of all of those things I just listed. So, and all of our contact information is there if anyone has any questions.
How big is your
company? Dan, I'm going to interrupt you for a second to ask Doug to speak a little louder and a little closer to the mic. We're having a little... he's talking typical Canadian soft speak, but you got a booming out there in radio.
All right, I will. Sorry about that.
It's okay. So... back to the question I wanted to ask you. How do you define small, and is that different in the United States?
So, you know what? We actually, I called the book 13 Ways to Kill Your Community because it's not just about small towns. It's about any community, which is a, you know, by definition, is a group of people with a common focus and a common agenda and a common purpose. So, and shared values and shared understanding. So it can be, a community can be a suburb in a city. A community can be a group of business owners at a chamber of commerce that are looking to make a difference. A community can be a youth association that's working on helping to change something statewide. A community is just a group of people with a common agenda, and I don't think it differs, frankly, anywhere in the world. And so that's why at its foundation, most of the book is actually pliable, not just to the situation in a town, but also pliable to a situation for any organization, even internally to a business, a community of people that has a shared strategy.
The reason why I ask is that I'm hesitant now to use the word unique, but I'll use it anyway. There's a unique transition going on in the United States. I live in North Jersey, about 22 miles west of the Rockefeller Center. And we saw tremendous growth in the population of New York City over the last 30-some years. But now what's happening is that the millennials are moving a different direction. Down the road from us, we lived in a town called Chatham, which was exactly 1 square mile, had 13,000 people in it, and every building lot was built, so there weren't any new lots to use. And then down on the next couple of stops on the railroad is a town about the same size called Madison, and the big town at the end of the road is Morristown, and they tore down buildings to build moderate-rise apartments and condos, and they're attracting young people and young families back into urban from urban communities to rural communities, where you can walk to the train, you could probably live there without a car, restaurants abound, movie theaters, shopping, it's all there. So we're seeing a change in New Jersey and New York and Connecticut in the Northeast. And I'm seeing it in Ohio, where I'm originally from. I was just there last week. Small towns are getting bigger because people are moving out of like the state capital, Columbus, moving out into more smaller towns because they want a different quality of life. Are you seeing that in Canada too?
Yes, actually, we're seeing it all over North America. And it's why a lot of the interviews I've been doing and a lot of the work that I've been doing with communities is how to capitalize on the opportunity that comes with millennials, because they have they're one of the greatest opportunities to grow our small communities again. If you imagine, they're more community focused than many generations before them, going back to the baby boomers who were, there weren't government grants like there are today to help, so they had to build their communities. Well, millennials are, they grew up in a world where they know that with new technologies like autonomous vehicles and the advent of more connectivity, that being in an urban center isn't nearly as important. And they want to be in a place where they can walk to work, where they can walk down to have a coffee, where they want to be part of a smaller community because they... their network of friends is very important to them. They're not buying into the what the Generation Xers like myself were taught, that you have to work 80 hours a week and climb the corporate ladder. They grew up online, in flat environments where their contributions were more important than their titles. And so you put all that together and they want a quality of life where they have close connections to their community and their family and their friends, and they're not so big about the big commute and climbing the corporate ladder, and bang, you've got this magical combination where millennials are going to help build our small communities more than any other factor has in the last 20 years. And I tell people who look at me and laugh and say, are you kidding, Doug? The entire globe is urbanizing. There's going to be no more rural building. But smaller rural urban centers are going I think they're going to have a rebirth. Rural America and rural Canada are going to experience a rebirth over the next 20 years. And that's why most communities we work with them in a way to get them prepared for that growth that is coming.
We've had a guest on the show who's a demographer, and he studies population shifts, and he's talking about how not only are the baby boomers out of the Northeast and the Midwest and coming south and west, which is going to put tremendous pressure on the physical infrastructure, hospitals, roads, highways, bridges, shopping, all those things are going to be under tremendous pressure for probably the next 20 to 30 years. Yet behind them, behind you, is the millennials, which he believes will be the largest generation in terms of numbers in the history of our nation. And they have particular needs, wants, and objectives. But I saw a very interesting report last week that struck me because it was saying in the report that there's a new shift taking place. And that shift was... it might have been your generation. Clearly, it was not my generation because I'll be 73 this month. There are a lot of people who are finding that the work at home experience, distance working, didn't work out, and so corporations who encouraged distance working, telecommuting, are now finding a problem is that these people want to come back into the office environment because they miss the social interaction and they believe they're less productive when they're just at home. So we have this another major shift of a previous or a current generation, which seems to be falling apart. Are you hearing any of that?
Well, I think it depends on the type of business, but yeah, we have seen, that's part of the reason why communities now need to be prepared not to build subdivisions. Because when you take into account that millennials are interested in riding their bike and walking to work, they're interested in their community and more of a social interaction. They don't want to spend 2 hours commuting in to go to work. They're not big on the corporate office towers, but they still want that community feel. That instead of building subdivisions where the best job you're going to get is working retail or, you know, something like that, they want, instead of just a subdivision that becomes a bedroom community of the downtown core, communities are going to, or municipalities are going to need to start to design real communities within communities, not just subdivisions. And that's I think, going to help not just make rural America stronger, but make our urban centers stronger as well. And that is going to be driven by the desire for millennials to have that social interaction, but not necessarily the corporate focus.
Dan, we have to take a break right now to hear from our sponsors, but we will be back with Doug Griffins talking about small town, or actually not town, I think it's small community in America and Canada. But first, a word from our sponsors.
Life. It's made up of the simple day-to-day moments that keep us all running on full. Full of joy, passion, and restlessness. It's singing full on to your car radio with the windows wide open. It's a whole bunch of early morning rush hours and a few late night runs for Rocky Road. It's full of pit stops and drive-thrus. It's life, and we live it between fill-ups at Valero. Valero top-tier certified quality fuel keeps your engine running cleaner, better, and longer. Find a station near you at valerocleangas.com.
Don't let hackers get your data. Email is insecure and can't handle large files. Instead, use Biscom's Secure File Transfer product. Military-grade security that's as easy to use as email, and it can handle attachments of any size. Visit Biscom.com for your free trial and make sure your private communications stay private. That's BISCOM.com.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's the 4th of July sale at Ace, and it's the perfect time to buy a grill from our exclusive lineup of premium brands, including Weber, Traeger, and more. Plus, Ace has grill experts to make sure you get the right grill, whether you're looking for gas, charcoal, wood pellet, or ceramic. And right now, get the right grill delivered right to your house. Now through the 4th, hurry in and buy any grill $3.99 and up, and we'll assemble and deliver it free, only at Ace. Offer valid for Ace Rewards members only. See participating store for scheduling and details.
We're back now with Doug Griffins. We're talking about communities here in the U.S. and Canada. And back to you, Dan.
Doug, I wanted to drill down just a little deeper. What do you see are some of the challenges that your clients, your small town or communities, are facing? Are there any common threads as you look at your client base?
Yeah, there are a lot of common threads. That's part of the reason why I wrote 13 Ways to Kill Your Community, and so each chapter covers a different one, generally related to the list that I had. But some of the ones that seem to stand out lately and that are the most common are that many of the communities that we do work in, they've recognized that there's a problem. They've recognized that what they're doing isn't working. They've recognized that things are changing and they want to adapt and be there, but they don't know how. And it's not often that they just don't know how, but it's combined with the fact that there's a contingent or cohort in the community that doesn't want change. They don't want to adapt to the future. They don't want to die, but they're pushing things and making choices that are sabotaging their own success. So, for instance, we've got quite a few of our clients are really focused on attracting millennials, attracting young people, attracting the next generation to open businesses and to move into their community and keep the ones that they have if possible. Yet they'll ask us to help, and we find out that what they're doing is actually chasing young people away, because they sit around saying, oh, well, there's no hope in this community, there's no future in this community, you know, businesses are closing, the state and federal government don't care about us, we just can't fit into the economy, we don't have the infrastructure we need. And then they wonder why young people leave, and they wonder why they don't move there and open new businesses when they're trying to attract them, but then they turn around and they run down their own community because they feel this hopelessness and despair. And that's the crux of it, is that so many communities are failing because of their attitude and how much they hold on to it. We were in another community, actually, that they wanted to adapt to the future. They wanted to talk about new technologies and the new economy and what they could do. And so we worked in with them for a couple of weeks, and it suddenly occurred to me that they were assuring their own failure, because they'd actually asked me what I thought their biggest problem was. And I said, everyone in town is still talking about how the coal mine will reopen. It closed 10 years ago, but that's all anyone will talk about. So as much as you want to work on the future, you're holding on to the past and something that might not come back. And so I told them you could just change the slogan of the town to still waiting for the mine to reopen, because that's what they were about. And then once I had pointed that out, then the conversation changed. They realized what they were doing to sabotage their success, and they started to let it go. That's the kind of stuff that we work on, and those attitudes are the biggest hindrance to communities finding success.
If you go back to your 13 way, are they ranked in order of importance or just 13?
No, they are. Actually, I've explained to everybody they're not in importance. They're not even in order of relevance. Any single one of them, whether it's deceive yourself or shop elsewhere, don't paint, right down to don't take responsibility, any single one of those methods and the attitudes that go along with it can ruin a community. You don't even need all 13. Just one of them will work. But unfortunately, many communities are utilize a lot of them. That's why we're putting on our website a tool that should be coming up in the next, if they watch for it over the summer, it'll be released, where people can go on and do an assessment of their community, and it will tell them which of the 13 ways are sabotaging their success. And then once you know what you're doing to ruin your own success, it's easier to figure out what to do to find success, to undo that. So it should be coming in the summer. I'm just fine-tuning it right now, but it'll be on the website for people to do their own assessment.
Will you repeat the website that you're talking about?
You bet. It's www.13ways, that's 13ways.ca.
Doug, I have a lot of questions in a very limited time, but on the 4th of July every year, I march in the Ellenville, New York, 4th of July parade, which is small town America. Now, Ellenville used to be the center of what they used to call the Jewish Himalayas, but that rapidly went away. It used to be a manufacturing center, and its last big manufacturing, a scissor company, succumbed 5 years ago, and it's become a town that's really living in its past. And I'm sure there are many towns in America. What do you tell a town when you come in first time and they're facing a lack of industry, lack of identity, et cetera? What do you do?
Normally, so if someone hires us to come in to do an assessment, I usually say, great, I give them an official start date, but I show up much earlier and wander around the community unannounced and unprojected, because I like to see the community with my own eyes. And I mean, I physically walk through town, talk to people on the street, talk to business owners, ask them some questions, very informally, because I've discovered, and when I was in politics, I discovered the same thing. When I stood at the front of the stage and I asked people to talk about the challenges, they told me what they wanted me to hear. But when I wandered around and talked to people casually, they said what they needed to say, which are two different things. And so I got a much more frank understanding of the community when I did that. And so the best way to describe it is maybe a little bit like a secret shopper. But the reason why we do it is because too often when we spent our entire lives in the community, we don't see anymore what the problems are or what's great about it. We don't notice the stuff that can be fixed, and we don't recognize the new opportunities that are out there. We get stuck in the past and think, oh no, the factory closed, I don't know what we're going to do now. And sometimes you need an outsider to come in with fresh eyes and say, why aren't you guys doing this? We were actually in a community. I did my 13 Ways presentation. I spent the day in the community wandering around. And as soon as I was done the presentation, they said, so tell us the first thing you observed about the community. And I said, your main street is underutilized. And they said, oh, but our main street is really, it's fairly busy. And I said, no, your main street is the river that runs through town. You've got a beautiful river, and there's nothing on it. Every building faces away. It's black at night. There's no activity. That's your main street. You've got beautiful arch bridges going across every, few blocks, and yet it's not being utilized. And you could see, hear the collective, oh, I never even thought about that, because they'd seen that river go by for 100 years and never had utilized it and didn't even see it anymore. So having those outside eyes helps.
Oh, we have to invite Doug back, but Dan, you get the last question, because we only have about a minute left.
Wow, that's a tough one for me to ask a question and an answer in 1 minute. A lot of the small towns around this country claim that they're suffering from Walmart disease. The shops closed because Walmart built a superstore and took away the business, and the small town store couldn't compete. Our demographer says that Walmart's not going to survive. It can't survive because it won't. They have to build them out in an area where the millennials can't come in. So, are there any radical changes that you're seeing coming soon?
Yes, he's right. Walmart is. It doesn't know it yet, but it's already history. So Walmart can't get into downtowns. And I guess one of the big challenges is that lots of communities are still trying to design their downtowns around commodity sales, the sale of products and goods, rather than services and experiences and socialization. I remember growing up on the farm, my grandpa would say, I'm going into town to get parts. Who needs anything? And I would say, can I come? And he'd say, well, what do you need? And I'd say, I don't. I just want to go see my friends, because it was part of socialization. And we used to go down to buy stuff and socialize, so we think we need to build our downtowns around buying stuff, but really they were always about socialization. And so services, things you can't buy on the internet, things you don't get from Walmart, that's the way we need to redesign our downtowns and the future of their economic growth, which means we need condos, we need housing, we need restaurants, we need places for people to socialize. That's the future, and you can't buy any of that on the internet. And millennials want socialization. They want to be part of a community. So if you focus on that, you'll have the chance to focus on your future rather than trying to build or rebuild the past.
Well, I think we could go. We have another guest waiting. We've been talking with Doug Griffins of 13 Ways. He talks about the communities both here and in Canada. We'll have a link to him up on our website. But we want to thank you, Doug, for joining us today and certainly opening my eyes, if not anybody else's. Thank you.
Thanks, Don and Dan, and I'd be happy to come back anytime. I love talking about our communities and how important they are. So
we definitely will. Now, a word from our sponsor.
At Valero, we believe life gets lived between every fill-up. So whether you go down the road on two wheels or four, whether your Wednesday night is spent racing to the grocery store or down a track, and whether you're dropping off the mail, the pizza, the kids, or all of the above, we're here to make sure you're never running on empty. Valero top-tier certified quality fuel keeps your engine running cleaner, better, and longer. Find a station near you at valerocleangas.com.
Hate your old fax machine? You can now fax through email. Simply write an email, attach the document, and send. Works with all major email providers. Get rid of the noisy and expensive old fax machine and try Biscom's Cloud Fax. Our solutions are great for businesses of all sizes. visit BISCOM.com for your free trial. That's BISCOM.com.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's the 4th of July sale at Ace. Now through Tuesday only, buy 2 gallons of our top paint brands, Valspar, Clark & Kensington, and Royal, and get the third gallon free. That's right. Buy 2 gallons, get one free. Plus, the paint experts at your local Ace will ask the right questions to make sure you get everything you need for your paint project. So hurry in now for the buy 2, get 1 free paint sale, only at Ace. Limit 2 free gallons of equal or lesser value. Prices may vary. See participating store for details.
Dan Perkins here from Recalculating.biz with your small business tip of the day. Small business funding is easier these days thanks to a new breed of lender called FinTech lenders. These internet-based lenders cut the time between applying for funds and getting the funds to just hours instead of months. They also make it easier to repay your loans, but their costs might be a little higher for their service. The next time you need dollars for your small business, try them. You might like the change. I'm Dan Perkins for Recalculating.biz and your small business tip of the day.
You know, Dan, experts tell us only 3 of 5 companies survive some sort of natural or man-made disaster. Dave Hobson's here today to talk about recovering from natural disasters and also preparing for it. Dave, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
David, this is Dan Perkins. Won't you just tell us a moment about the name of your firm and how people can get in touch with you through your website?
Of course. The name of the firm is called Dryemphasis. We're a IT consulting firm and business process reengineering. You can find us at triumphus.com, T-R-I-U-M-P-H-U-S.com. Or you can find out about the book and the business storm cycle at Dave Hobson, H-O-P-F-O-N.com.
And what's the title of the book?
Surviving the Business Storm Cycle.
So let me see if I have this right. You have a consulting firm that helps recover from natural disasters. Is that correct?
No, sir. We have a firm that helps companies recover from disasters internally or externally motivated in the sense of falling margins, revenues, and loss of market share.
Okay. So I got some bad information. So you're talking about dealing with. These are my words, not yours. So, David, you're talking about people that may have lost their money and they may be floundering and they don't know what to do. And as you said, margins may be contracting and maybe they have an increase in turnover of personnel, loss of customers, maybe a general loss of momentum. Is that a fair assessment?
It is. That's one part of the cycle. I've been doing this for about 30 years. And I was a modeler, economic modeler in graduate school. And so I started noticing a pattern. And it's a pattern much like a butterfly. You start off as an egg, that's a startup. You have your cocoon or your caterpillar, that's your revenue growth. That's when you're building, you're getting bigger, you're having a bit of a tornado. And then you have an avalanche because your company couldn't keep up or that the market changed. And so you have to go into a consolidation. And so now you go from your caterpillar to a cocoon so you can rebuild and then come back out as a startup, as a butterfly all over again. And it's the same idea here. You're going to go through these cycles. The question is, can you quickly go through the avalanche and consolidation phase and get back into the tornado where the high revenue is and hopefully the high margin? But what I found is a lot of especially companies that are leaping from the small branch under $1 million a year in revenue and jumping up into the 10s and 20s and 50s find that they can't keep up, but they don't know how to slow the reins of growth down, and they end up creating their own avalanche because they've grown to a place where they can't manage it anymore.
So you're saying that sometimes businesses grow too fast, they grow into their skin, and they destroy their company?
They can absolutely grow too fast, where they no longer can deliver on their promises. They can't keep up the cash flow. They're not getting the product out the door or the service delivered, in a meaningful way, such that someone takes their place because of a bad reputation and bad customer service, you can actually lose the first market mover. There's scores that we know about on the front page. Ask MySpace or AOL.com or now Yahoo. What happens is you grow so fast that you try to throw either more people at it or you try to throw technology at it, and you don't keep the whole thing equilaterally adjusted. So I use a triangle to talk about this. You think about having people, your staff on one side of a triangle, your processes on another, and the technology down below to support it. If you let that triangle get out of whack, you're going to end up failing to deliver what you were trying to deliver in the first place. And you can see this. You can know where you are in the cycle. If you're in a tornado, if your revenue growths are over 10% a year and your margins are falling by more than 10% a year, but your staff growth is growing by 10% a year, you're throwing people at a problem and you're throwing money at a problem, but you're not fixing it. And so you have to pull the reins back on the growth, stop overpromising, start fixing your back office so you can deliver whatever your product or service is that you were delivering in the first place that got you in a tornado.
You know, listening to you, Dave, I'm reminded of a television commercial that I've seen numerous times where there's a room full of people and they're launching a new product and they open a window in the internet to get orders, and they get an order for 3, and they get an order for 12, and then they get an order for 300,000, and they don't know what they're going to do. They can't handle 300,000. They're going to disappoint a lot of customers. And there used to be a saying years ago, I'm sure you heard, under promise, deliver.
Yeah.
But we have some companies today that over promise and under deliver. You know, I'm thinking about one company that I think I would love to have your thoughts on it. One company seems to have figured that out, that they can grow faster than 10% a year, they don't decrease their margins, and they've got a huge number of people, and that's Amazon. There's a company that is counter to many of your concerns about growth.
And here's how Amazon has done that. And you can name another, which is Apple, which is just like it now.
Right.
If you think about them, if you watch their month-to-month revenues and their quarterly revenues, if you've watched, every time the revenue starts dropping or the margin starts dropping, they have a new product to roll out. They've already been in the back. During the tornado, they've been in the back fixing the next market, fixing the next avalanche, and consolidating. So they're ready. So right now we're all waiting on the Apple phone i8, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're all waiting for. Well, if you look at the sales of the 7, they're dropping. We all got one already. So I got a whole new one out. So I can stay in that tornado. Amazon's done the same thing. Every time you think you've got everything Amazon wants you to have, you find out, well, now I can do Amazon in 4 hours. I don't have to do Prime. I can do it in 4 hours now. So there's always something new to keep that company in the forefront. But they've done it by investing so much, so early in their back office, where their technology is absolutely supreme, their people are ready, and their processes were built for this size of a company and even the next size, so they never have that failure.
But, you know, it's interesting that you chose Apple. I'm not saying that it was a bad choice. I'd like to talk about that. We're talking about the possibility that the iPhone 8 may cost upwards to $1,000. And what seems to have happened in Apple's career is that they've expanded the technology, but they haven't really lowered the price. Still paying for a 7 today, a very healthy amount of money. And I'm wondering if, like you just said, buying the 7 because the 8's come, because most people who wanted the 7 have the 7. Wonder whether that business model can work longer term
or as the price goes up, the number of people willing to pay the price are going to be diminished, and they're going to go elsewhere to buy the technology.
You know, it's an interesting question, how long that market will last. And it really rests on the millennials, doesn't it? How important is that technology to them? When we talk about technology a lot nowadays, and we were talking earlier about how you over-deliver and under-promise, there's already the millennials and even the X generation are already expecting more than a lot of companies tend to deliver because of these large companies using so much technology.
Right.
They get everything on their phone. They get everything next day delivery. It makes it hard for anybody except those big 10 companies deliver that. How long can Apple use marketing to sell you a phone that you already don't use 10% of to get to where you only use 6% of? That's a good question. It hasn't followed Moore's Law, that's for sure.
Well, you know, you think in terms of looking at the business model, for example, for Amazon. Amazon has a long time positioned itself as a online retailer. And yet, in the last 60 days, it acquired Whole Foods Market, which is a retail distribution of upstage food operation. And people are wondering how they're going to integrate that into the Amazon model. And they also started to open the first Amazon brick and mortar stores. So the Amazon history of eliminating the brick and mortar, now they're buying a supermarket chain and they're starting to build Amazon physical stores. What does that say about the Amazon model?
I think it's got a lot of people puzzled. Has he changed his focus, or has he gotten large enough that he can now take on the brick and mortar world and challenge Walmart directly? I think the brick and mortar stores are just testing the market. They're not opening a lot. They're opening 20. I think that's interesting that they're going to go see what that plays like, maybe learn a little bit. The Whole Foods model, a lot of us are wondering, are they really going to get into battling at the grocery store level, or did he hire a bunch of really good talent and he doesn't really care if those stores close or not? That's an interesting position that I've had.
Dan, can I jump in here with a question?
Sure, go.
Doug, I'm curious. Every day when I open the Wall Street Journal, there's another company that's not making a profit that gets $1 billion worth of venture capital. Do you want to comment on that and why it's good or bad? Because it just seems to me that you're trying to buy success.
Yeah, everybody wants to find the next unicorn, right? Well, the question is, it's almost reversed. Why do we have so much venture capital available? What are we not investing in? What are we not building that a lot of that venture capital, a lot of that even banks loaning money? Why is that money not being used elsewhere? There's a lot of interesting arguments about that, but I think that we are overinvested and we're ready for another boom of our startup industry, especially in the tech world. It's going to explode just like the .com. It's going to be a lot of lost money.
We have to take a break here in just a minute, but I want to follow Don's question. The Wall Street Journal reported recently that they expect 8,500 retail stores, physical stores, to be closed in 2017. And change with 100, 200, 300 stores are filing for bankruptcy. That's a change in the business model, right?
I agree. Which makes Jeff Bezos' move even more interesting. And I've also read that 25% of the malls are going to close.
Yep, I've seen that too. Don, back.
Well, I you know, this is a fascinating subject, But I'm looking at all of this, and it would seem to me that we're into a period of radical change in American business. And where do you think it's going?
Well, I think there's two pieces that have changed. One is technology, and that we now have a group that are grown that have had technology all their life. And they have different expectations on delivery, on speed, and on price. However, the technology they use, they're willing to pay through the nose for. We watch it all the time. I remember when the first time I had a child ask me for a phone when they were high school, I thought they were crazy. And now my granddaughter has one, and she's in second grade. that kind of change, and I asked her how to use my iPhone often, but that kind of change is what we're trying to couple ourselves with. The big commodity companies and the wholesale companies don't have near the problem that retail and services to end consumers have, because their expectation of time and delivery and quality is certainly different. And you can even think about it from a social standpoint. I heard on your show earlier about the socializing of going downtown to the mall or to Main Street. That doesn't happen anymore. Our new generation socialize online. And so if you don't have a place where people are congregating, how are you going to get them to purchase something that they weren't planning on? And that becomes difficult. It becomes very digital and very difficult to do. And I think that's what's changing this, and I think it's driving the retail market to relook at their world. And trying to catch up now, if you don't have a digital platform already enhanced and ready to be used and people on it, I don't think you can catch Amazon and the others that are out there.
Dave, we've got to take a break for a moment here for a word from our sponsors. But we'll be right back with Dave Hoxton more on this fascinating subject that I'm learning more and more about. But first, a word from our sponsors.
Before you hear this or this or even this, before you turn a key, step on the gas and let it rip, before you get up and out and on the road, you have to be fueled by something. Make sure that something is Valero. Valero top-tier certified quality fuel keeps your engine running cleaner, better, and longer. Find a station near you at valerocleangas.com.
Want to know more about health savings accounts for your company or yourself? Go to 2HSA.com and get a free employer's primer. Health savings accounts are a cost-effective way of offering health care benefits to your employees and yourself. HSAs build retirement funds for your employees, improve morale, and reduce your health care benefit cost. For a free employer guide to HSAs, go to 2HSA.com. That's 2HSA.com.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's the 4th of July sale at Ace, and it's the perfect time to buy a grill from our exclusive lineup of premium brands, including Weber, Traeger, and more. Plus, Ace has grill experts to make sure you get the right grill, whether you're looking for gas, charcoal, wood pellet, or ceramic. And right now, get the right grill delivered right to your house. Now through the 4th, hurry in and buy any grill $3.99 and up, and we'll assemble and deliver it free, only at Ace. Offer valid for Ace Rewards members only. See participating store for scheduling and details.
We're back live again with Dave Hoxton. We've talked about small town America or small town communities. Now we're talking some radically new ideas to me. So, Dan, back to you.
Thank you. David, in thinking about your answer to Don's question, what do you think is some of the biggest challenges that American business is facing today?
I think probably the largest thing we are facing, even for startups, is meeting the new expectations of our consumers. We used to open a store, and if we had the right product in the right area, things went well. That's not how it works today. We don't even hire consultants if you want to start a consulting firm. We don't even hire consultants the same way anymore. We don't find one that we trust who brings us the right people. We go on LinkedIn and on the internet and find the perfect guy or the perfect woman. When we shop for something, we look on Google or we look on Amazon first. We may still go by to the store, but we get all of our product information about whatever we want to do from the internet. And so you have to be prepared to fight globally for a local customer.
So is it are you saying, David, that we're talking about a globalization so that the small business guy doesn't have a chance?
I'm not saying you don't have a chance. I'm saying you have to find a way to compete. We're not going to bring a plumber from China to fix our pipes, but we used to call the closest plumber, and now instead we go and read reviews of plumbing companies, and we might call one from across town if we think they have better reviews. And that was never true until 10 years ago.
And so
we didn't go through the phone book and call all of them. That's why all the plumbing companies started with the letter A.
The first place you go. So that the idea here, the idea, what you're saying is that the internet not only has provided information, but the internet is also the manipulating tool to get you in front of a customer ahead of everybody else.
It is. It's absolutely equalizer. It has leveled the playing field. So it helps in that sense for entrepreneurs who are starting and they want to compete with that same plumbing company that's been around town for 25 years. If they can get some rave reviews or show how they're cheaper and they have a strong internet presence where they can be first on the list when you Google it, they have a much better chance of about setting the apple cart than they did before. But conversely, so does the guy down the street. And so you have a much harder time making your business the one that people will turn to, whether it's a service or a product, because there's a whole range of them out there they can look for.
We're out of time. Well, done.
Well, I want to ask Dave a question. Saying all that, doesn't customer service then become even more of a priority because you're fighting not only your local, but your longer distance competitor, but isn't customer service key as well?
Absolutely. As I was saying, people, they go look for reviews. Look at the reviews and the challenges that hotels and restaurants have. When they get one bad review, then they have to go on the defensive and defend themselves and send the customer a free dinner or a free night stay to try to get them to adjust it so that they don't have a bad rating. It's amazing how powerful the consumer has become.
Well,
you can even find reviews on doctors now.
Again, well, we've run out of time. I found this interesting. I'm so glad that Dan's been asking these kind of questions. We've been talking with Dave Hobson. Tell us again your website and how people can reach you.
Absolutely. So if you're interested in the business storm cycle, you can find that at davehopson.com, HOPSON.com. There is a free assessment up there and a white paper you can download to help you figure out where your company is and what you should be worried about next. And for Triumphus, our consulting firm, that's at triumphus.com, TRIUMPHUS.com.
Thank you so much, Dave Hobson, for joining us today.
It
was fascinating. You've got to come back. And now we have Dan's tip of the day, which this one I'm really looking forward to.
Dan Perkins here from Songs and Stories for Soldiers with your veterans tip of the day. As a veteran, are you getting everything that you're entitled to? Many merchants are proud to offer discounts to veterans. They can be anything from a big box store to the corner market. Most don't do a very good job of promoting their veterans programs, so you'll have to do a little homework and find them on your own. This is especially important if you're making a major purchase like appliances or even a new car. So when you're going to the store, get into the habit of asking the salesperson, do you offer discounts to veterans? If they say yes, then ask how much. If you need a new refrigerator or a new washer and dryer, the discount for you could be significant. So make sure you get what you're entitled to by stepping up and asking, do you offer discounts for veterans? Your wallet will be better off for asking. This has been Dan Perkins with your Songs and Stories for Soldiers.us Veterans Tip of the Day.
Life, it's made up of the simple day-to-day moments that keep us all running on full. Full of joy, passion, and restlessness. It's singing full on to your car radio with the windows wide open. It's a whole bunch of early morning rush hours and a few late night runs for Rocky Road. It's full of pit stops and drive-thrus. It's life, and we live it between fill-ups at Valero. Valero top-tier certified quality fuel keeps your engine running cleaner, better, and longer. Find a station near you at ValeroCleanGas.com.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's the 4th of July sale at Ace, and it's the perfect time to buy a grill from our exclusive lineup of premium brands, including Weber, Traeger, and more. Plus, Ace has grill experts to make sure you get the right grill, whether you're looking for gas, charcoal, wood pellet, or ceramic. And right now, get the right grill delivered right to your house. Now through the 4th, hurry in and buy any grill $3.99 and up, and we'll assemble and deliver it free, only at Ace. Offer valid for Ace Rewards members only. See participating store for scheduling and details.
You know, Dan, we're coming up to the July 4th weekend. I wanted to, here in New Jersey, as you know, some of the stores also offer veterans a 4th of July extra discounts. I just wanted to bring that out. What did you think of today's guest, Dan?
Well, in fact, we thought we had some interesting perspective. We have the gentleman from Canada who's trying to figure out how to keep small communities alive and growing and prospering. And had David talk to us about what's really going on in competitive forces in trying to attract and retaining customers. A very competitive environment. And, you know, the idea that we can now go online and shop for a plumber as opposed to just picking a plumber and calling him out of the phone book is true. We have almost 9,000 stores that are going to close this year. And you, the question that I really wanted to follow up, we didn't have the question you asked about customer service. I find it fascinating that the big box stores are focusing less and less on customer service by eliminating personnel. And the online suppliers are talking about their great customer service. So it's been a total switch. The places where we used to go, where we expected personal service because there was a person there, there isn't anybody there now. And they've cut back dramatically on their personnel. And yet the online services, and you could buy Amazon, forget the drones, you could buy Amazon Prime and get something, get arrived the next day. It's a crazy world, but it's changing. And as he said, the millennials are part of the driving force to make it happen.
What I was fascinated about is everybody saying that Walmart was dead and just didn't know it yet. I found that very fascinating. That's the third time I heard that this week. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for a company that's growing like it is and with that salary, I was just amazed. Amazed to hear about that. What do you think about that? We've got about 1 minute left before we got to go.
The challenge is going to be, as we talked on an earlier show, the challenge is that Walmart is going to become subject to the higher minimum wage, and they're not going to be able to hire as many people as they and keep them because of paying a higher wage, X amount of dollars, and once that money is spent, they're not going to hire any more people. So I think that the minimum wage may, in fact, if it goes through to $15 an hour, may be the end of Walmart.
Well, Dan, it's time to say goodbye for this hour.
Yeah. Well, thanks for joining us tonight, and we'll talk to you next week. This is Dan Perkins.
And Don Mazzella, wishing you a happy 4th.
Thank you for joining us on Recalculating. We hope the information you received on today's episode was helpful to you in starting and growing your business. Please go to our website, recalculating.biz, to contact us, to listen to past shows, and see special offers. Until next time, remember, if you grow, we grow. Join us next week for more helpful ideas to make your business a great success.
Here's an urgent message from Agora Financial.
Most of the tiny penny stocks operating in the newly formed marijuana markets are garbage. That's the truth of it. But there are a few that have a legitimate chance of becoming blue chip marijuana firms. And that's certainly the case for one 25-cent marijuana player that we've analyzed. Why? Because it was recently revealed that they are expected to deliver the best quarter on record to shareholders. All segments of operations, construction, wholesale, and retail are being reported as profitable and self-sustaining, and they could be getting ready to deliver some really big news. Shares could soar in the near future. Once the mainstream media begins covering this story, it could send share prices screaming higher. Go to profitfrompot.com to find out how you can legally stake a claim in the best of the best that the industry has to offer. If you don't, you'll probably regret it for the rest of your life. Go to profitfrompot.com. That's profitfrompot.com.